welcome to From the Fryer. Today we'll be talking about 90 Day Fiancé, The Other Way, Season 3, Episode 11, written in the stars.
Yeah, thank you guys for joining us. Really appreciate it. So excited to bring you an episode that's probably going to release day of.
Oh, I'm so excited to get back on schedule. Thank you guys so much for hanging with us during our kind of crazy time. Very excited to bring you an episode when it should come out. Okay, I have something to talk about that I specifically knew I wanted to bring up on this podcast. That has nothing to do with the shows that we talk about.
Is it the peanut incident?
Peanut incident.
Peanut gate. Nut gate.
Oh. So, we recently went to a basketball game, and someone in front of us got peanuts. No problem. You're going to a sporting event. You're going to eat peanuts. Cool. I witnessed this man put all of his shells and pieces of peanuts that he didn't want to eat, just threw them on the floor. Like wet, gross, broken pieces of peanuts. I was so appalled. I could not believe he was doing this in an inside arena. It wasn't like a baseball field. It wasn't a baseball game. I kind of would give a little bit more leeway to a baseball game. This was a basketball game. Indoors. Leon just looked at me and told me I could not say anything. Had to bite my tongue on this one. What do you think? Because you have very different opinions on this.
I tried to limit awkward social interactions. So I was like, yeah, you know, I just don't say anything. But
I think I bring those on myself too much.
I try to look at things from multiple viewpoints. And I was telling Ellie that if you think about it, and I didn't care if I was wrong. Like I'm not doing that. I'm not dumping peanut shells or whatever on the ground. Like I'm fucking taking my shit out and throwing it away. But from the perspective of just like a customer, when you're in the arena, certain things just sort of, they come as like a set, right? You get your burger and you got some fries and it comes in a basket. It's all like one piece, like one scenario. But in the case of like peanuts, they just give you peanuts. They don't like give you anything to throw your shells in, like a little baggie, a cup, nothing, like a little basket. They don't give you anything. And I was telling Ellie, like, we can't trust people to do the right thing.
And I
gave her the example of, in I think when we went to Taiwan and Japan, when you buy something like from
a vendor or a street food maker,
whatever. Whether it's something that's like sticky or something that's maybe could make your fingers just kind of smell or just the spices or something, they'll either give you like a glove, like a plastic glove that you can eat the food with, or they'll give you sort of like a toothpick where you can sort of just poke the food and then you eat it, but you don't have to get your fingers dirty. So it's kind of like it's a part of the process. They give it to you. It's like all in one. In this case, you don't get that. You just get a bag of peanuts.
But that does not... That's not a big enough excuse for
me. Well, some folks
like,
could say...
Like, we are all adults.
Some folks could say you could just put the shells right back in the bag.
Yeah, you can put it right back in the bag. You could get a cup yourself. You could get a napkin yourself. I don't know. I just don't need everyone to do everything for me.
So, Ellie did some investigation, as we do on Reddit.
Why is that my source of everything? It's just a good way to see lots of opinions.
And it led to a fun, you know, Am I the Asshole subreddit.
Yeah.
And, of course... Everyone pretty much stated like, yeah, you're an asshole for doing that. You're making people's lives harder that work at the arena for cleaning and
like, know. Okay, if I'm having a burger at the arena and I decide I don't want tomato on my burger, is that okay to throw on the ground?
Nah.
See? Same thing with a peanut to me.
Yeah. Well, even on
like it wasn't a couple of shells. Like this man was going ham on this bag of peanuts.
Well, even in the post we saw, they mentioned people were including, like, all types of food. Like, people that leave just a bunch of shit over their seating.
Yeah, like, again, the burger trays or whatever, the little baskets.
Yeah, it's like you're, piece of shit human. You should just be able to go pick up your shit and throw it away.
I just feel like we're all adults, and we...
Oh, the counter-argument was sort of like herd mentality. Like, oh, it's, in this moment, it's socially acceptable. They're like, no.
Just because a lot of people do it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do.
Like, in some towns, maybe racism used to be socially acceptable, but that doesn't mean I get okay.
I don't know why this was such a big issue that I felt the need to bring it up on the podcast, but...
You want to get your thoughts out.
I think it is. It bothered me so much that even the next day, again, I didn't do my research, because I couldn't get over, am I making this a big deal?
Am I crazy?
Yeah. Maybe I am. Maybe I am making it a bigger deal than it is.
It would be cool to see people chime in on Twitter or something.
I know. Please tell me, am I the asshole for thinking that he's an asshole? Maybe. Maybe I'm making it a way bigger deal. You go to Roadhouse, we know that you're going to throw it on the floor, and that's part of it.
Oh, Five Guys?
Well, I think they do it Five Guys as well, but oh, the Texas Roadhouse.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean.
Even then, I don't even think I could bring myself to do it. I'd be like, nope, this is my pile. And I'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll get that. I'll take yours, too. Okay, that had nothing to do with this podcast or life. We usually give life updates, but I just needed to get that out. Do you want to just go on the episode? Because we've been having such late episodes come out that I feel like I have no life updates. Like, everyone already knows what's going on with us.
Yeah, nothing, okay. Nothing crazy.
I really liked this episode. I almost cried multiple times.
Yeah, there was some really good scenes.
There's a lot of emotion in this episode.
Even the Corey Evelyn thing that I thought was going to be super corny and stupid. It actually turned out to be okay. Like, yeah. I thought the scene was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was great. It was nice to see nice things happen. I mean, with the exception of Ari and Vinny, it was like nice to just see people happy. I know that's not really what we watch this show for, but
I have some thoughts cool to on see. Ari for later. But yeah, it was a really good
episode. I do too. We'll get into that though. Let's start with Jenny and Sumit. How old is this astrologer? He looks amazing, and his dad says they've been going to him for 30 years.
Maybe he's like the best looking 60-year-old.
There's no way.
55-year-old. It was insane. I'm not sure.
All I know is he has no worry lines, and it's probably because he follows the stars. Yep. Not worrying about it. Letting fate take the wheel.
He said things are good as always.
Yeah. Oh, and he talks so nice. Like, great guy. So the astrologer comes to Jenny and Sumit's house to sit with Jenny, Sumit, and Sumit's parents. And I was shocked by what he said. I did not expect him to be able to change everyone's mind in one sitting, essentially. But
this man possibly shifted their entire future of their lives.
Yes, their entire lives. Isn't that crazy? Completely affected multiple families. He says to Sumit's parents, "You don't have to teach them anything. Take care of your husband, and you shouldn't interfere with someone else's house. Eat, drink, have fun, nothing else." Amazing. Could we all just live our lives that simply?
It was interesting to see how much faith they put into his words, because Sumit's parents were taking it very seriously. And yes. The mom almost looked not distraught, but just...
It's not what she wanted to hear.
It's not what she wanted to hear, and she almost didn't want to believe he was saying these things, but he kept going and kept going. And I think it started to sink in really quick for her. You can tell in her facial expressions, they got real very quickly.
Doesn't it suck that Jenny's sitting there being like, I have to read body language? Yeah, they didn't get this girl a translator or anything. Oh, weren't you saying that she should use Google app?
I don't understand why she doesn't have a live translator on her phone.
Is Google that good? I mean, we used it a lot when we traveled, but we were mostly doing like text and things like that. Live conversation. I think
the way it works, you have to hold down while you talk.
I think so.
Could but she just there's like probably that's just one example of a translator. There's probably translators.
I mean, there's out devices. There, that will just
listen and you tell it. This is, you know, some language, output it to English or in text, anything to help her understand because she's at zero.
Exactly. So I feel like even if the translator app was kind of shitty, it would still give you something.
If it gave you 80%, that would help so much. Anyway, Jenny, get a translator or, you know, take some language classes.
The astrologer says to Sumit's mother, "You are not the one getting married, so you have nothing to do with this. Are you a selfish mother? It seems like it to me. Let him go." That was so direct. And honestly, she needed... Whatever the message was going to be today, it did need to be direct.
But she doesn't want to let him go.
No, that is the thing. My note right after that was, oh my god, what is Sumit going to do? Because I don't think he wants to marry her.
I think I told you, I was like, this dude is not firing shots. He's dropping bombs right now.
Yeah, also, all this happened within the first 5 minutes of the episode, so I knew it was going to be a good one.
He was so cool, calm, and collected while he was giving him this detail, too. It was great.
I know. Again, just this astrologer is so cool.
Do you think Sumit's parents, in the future episodes, future seasons, are really going to back off as much as maybe they portrayed?
No, not at all. Because we see later in the episode, while this is great and they say they're going to, you know, take what the astrologer says and everything like that, we see in their interviews, they are not going to back off as much as they say. Well,
no, they'll back off. They'll just hope it ends.
Exactly. So, yes, they are going to back off.
They will back off while hoping it ends.
Exactly.
They're going to put out the energies.
They're going to put out the energies, and the ancestors also want this to end. I was telling Leon during the episode, I was like, I hope my great-great-great-grandchildren don't put that on me. Don't talk for me.
Yeah. You should be resting somewhere.
Yeah, don't say I want things to end. Sumit's mom wants to talk to Jenny alone, but the father does come to translate a little bit. She tells Jenny that she's going to go back to her home tomorrow and that the astrologer made her understand a lot of things. She tells Jenny that her nature is very good and that they will love her. And then this is where I got really emotional. I think the Jenny-Sumit relationship is super weird and entangled, and I don't really know how to feel about it. But at the same time, seeing this was so nice.
I never saw this happening.
No, me neither.
From the start of the season to the previews of everything going on between Jenny and
her mom. They never even previewed this, so they never spoiled this.
Not previewed this, but just like her mom. Their mom's moving in, or their Sumit's parents moving in, and just the interactions they have one-on-one.
Yeah.
Never saw this coming.
Same. I was shocked. I was shocked immediately by what not only the astrologer said, but also how the parents decided to take that. How did you feel about Jenny asking for their blessing immediately to marry?
I think this is as good a time as any.
Really?
Go it while you have all this positive energy flying.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Might be the best shot you have.
I was thinking, don't rock the boat. It's finally coming to a decent point, and just ask it later. Don't even ask. Just deal with it later. Enjoy this moment. But I guess you're correct. If the good energy is flowing and they're taking in information right now and responding in a better way,
I'm thinking from Jenny's standpoint, what she's faced and sort of the negativity. And yeah, I don't know. She probably wasn't thinking like, this is as good as it's going to get. I need to ask now. But she probably just felt that amount of positivity. It was a good time to ask.
That's true.
But they essentially say they're not going to give her the blessing.
Yes, not right now. So at this point, this is where they bring up the ancestors. They say in their interview, it's everyone's hope, mine, my family, and my ancestors, that the relationship will end. And I wrote, ah, here it is.
Yep. It's just because, you know, the family's so traditional and the cultures. And
I was going to ask you about that. What do you think is a bigger issue to Sumit's mom? Jenny's age or her kind of pushing back on the Indian culture and not really fully embracing what the mother believes should, and not fully embracing what the mother feels like an Indian wife would do?
I think it's her age.
I think so too.
Yeah.
As much as she's trying to use that as an excuse or saying, you need to change, you need to really embrace the culture, I don't think she would accept her even in that case.
I think the mom just has this picture of what she wanted both of her sons to experience.
Agree.
For example, Sumit's brother, he's married to an Indian woman.
You also have to realize that his mom, had the ideal relationship for Sumit.
It was set up to be sort of in her eyes.
Perfect woman for him.
And it's weird to push this down on people, but we do see it happen a lot where they sort of, like, when you're going to have kids, and that sort of just gets pressured onto individuals, and it's almost like she wants that for her son.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if we've ever heard of Sumit wanting to have a kid.
I don't think we have. Have we at all? Has that ever been brought up of what Sumit wants? Sumit said he feels like he's winning everyone's love and that he's never had that feeling before, which is really sad because you've lived with your parents and...
Well, we've seen in previous episodes when his folks are trying to stop their progression, he seems very stressed out.
Yeah.
Just emotionally, even when he talked to his parents, remember that there was a sit down a long time ago when he was talking to his parents and he was like sweating and it was just very emotional. I'm sure there's been times during their relationship that he's been extremely stressed out about the situation with his parents.
Well, yeah, think of his marriage prior. Sumit says the best part is he doesn't have to choose his family or Jenny. And it really sucks that this isn't real. I felt like him and his parents were almost talking in two separate languages. The parents were talking very generalized, very yes, we will take a step back, but they always come up short of saying they support or that they will bless the marriage.
Yeah, it's almost like they can't take themselves to go that far in acceptance.
Yeah. In Sumit's mom's interview, she says, "I have to set Sumit loose. Then maybe he will back out of getting married. Then I will be very happy." It just sucks to see the back and forth. They're saying what they think they should say for the stars, the moon, the astrologer, that they don't believe it. Or they do believe it, but they think by expressing and putting that energy out there that it means something versus
I wonder if they're not genuine, if it'll backfire on them.
Oh, see? I mean, the dad say when he didn't follow the astrologer's advice, he got into problems. And then we see them celebrating the holy festival. It looks so fun. So nice. Celebrate the colors.
I think spring. I've seen pictures of the events that are kind of taking place around here before. And it looks really cool. I didn't know it was like a celebration of like welcoming spring. That was really cool to see.
Yeah, and just kind of love, life, happiness. It sounds so nice. I wish I knew more about it, so maybe I'll look it up. I mean, I spent all that time looking up peanuts, so I feel like I could easily educate myself on the holy festival. Jenny wants to get married right away, and Sumit says that they need to visit an astrologer to pick a date so that the future will be bright. He says he does want to get married, but not like tomorrow. We're in the same situation, I feel like.
Part of what I got from Sumit is he just wasn't all in. Or I never feel like he's all in.
Yeah, I don't feel like he really is all in either. And his parents was the perfect excuse.
Well, you think you got this good news, you'd be like, oh, this is fucking amazing. Let's make it happen. Let's do this.
And he always pumps the brakes. Yeah, he can't give her anything. He can't say next year. He can't say in 2 years. He can't give her anything.
Oh, no, he used the astrologer as the scapegoat, because he said, oh, we'll go talk to him and he'll give us the perfect date.
Yeah, but what if he gives the date of in a week? Yeah. Sumit will find another reason.
Yep. He'll say, oh, my parents can't make it. They're busy in a week. We need more time.
Do you think they're ever going to get married? I think this is a question we ask each other every episode. I still stick to my thing, my guts. They are not going to get married. Ever.
I hope I've always said they wouldn't, but I don't think they are.
Jenny says this time if he makes excuses, then she will know that he doesn't want to marry her. But it's been 10 years of excuses, and I feel like...
Well, I mean, the man was married for like 6 of them.
I don't think he was married that long. No.
No?
No. Where'd you get 6 years from?
It just felt like... I mean, how long has it been since... They've only been like together without him being married for like 3 years?
Has it even been that long?
Yeah, he said this is like our third holy together.
I mean, I guess. I mean, were they consecutive, or was that when she was visiting, when she was fucking him in his parents' house?
This is true.
Ari and Benny. Their packing method super stressed me out. Janice and Ari just had shit everywhere. Cannot pack like that.
I wonder how many bags they were.
It didn't look too absurd. All right. So their method must work for them. I can't talk shit. I think it's so weird that Janice is going.
It's almost been proven time and time again that you pretty much can't trust Ari to take care of the kid by herself.
Well, not only that aspect. She's either had
Benny, a nanny, her mom, the family, and now her mom again going back.
Yeah.
She's never, it's like never just her and Benny with a kid.
Which, she's very lucky to be in the situation where she does have all this help. But I think it's super weird that she's going, not even in the sense that...
Someone's going to say it takes a village.
I mean, it does. I mean, it totally does. Yeah, I really hope I have this much help when I have a child. It does
take a village, but you also should have the confidence that the mother can take care of the child. And I don't want to talk that much shit about it. I don't know if I have that confidence with her.
I think more than that, the issue is Ari can't deal with situations on her own.
I think she's just been sheltered her whole life.
Absolutely. She's never had to fully provide for herself.
It's hard to approach situations like this on her own.
Any situation.
Well, basically any stressful situation. Yeah. Like really stressful situation.
Exactly.
Not like day to day, like, oh, what am I going to do with these options?
I mean, she does need help day to day, though. And anything above that, she needs her mom there, which is very strange.
I also thought it was kind of BS that... Well, I don't know if you have something else to mention before the
translator. Do you want me to go in order?
Yeah, go ahead.
Janice says that she wants to be there to help with Avi and guide them in the right direction. Do you think it's the mother's role to try to even guide them? Or am I thinking of this negatively, and it is nice to have that person that can help guide them.
It would be cool to get perspective, but then you would almost have to have dealt with this situation to kind of get the full perspective. And I don't know if Ari's mom has dealt with this sort of situation before.
I love how calming her mom is, though.
She's
very even keeled.
She was like a full-time nurse, right? Like,
yeah.
Her whole career.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure she's dealt with some shit, had to talk with people. Exactly. So I can get how she can be a good mediator.
I do think she is a great mediator, but I'm wondering if they need someone outside of people they know. For example,
they're always going to pick sides.
I think even if you're trying not to, I think you would tend to lean towards your daughter's side.
Yeah, you're going to. I mean, it's family.
Exactly. Through tears, once they land in Kenya, Ari says, "I don't know why he did this to us." And it's sad. I do feel bad for Ari. It's a shitty situation. I'm upset that she didn't feel like she could have this surgery for Avi in a country that Benny could be with them at. It's shitty that this is kind of how it turned out and how he decided to deal with the situation. The whole thing is just crummy. Benny said he hasn't seen Avi for 2.5 months, but I can't take that seriously because he could have called more often and been more connected. But you say physically, it's not the same.
Yeah, I think his meaning was physically he hasn't seen him. That's a long time for your new baby that you haven't seen. That seems like a long time to be apart.
Janice threw some shade here, which I did not enjoy. And this goes back to what we were just saying about how you're always going to have your daughter's side.
Why do they do this?
I hate it. She says, he's like, why is daddy here? I haven't seen him in months. What does that add to this?
Yeah.
How you're here to be a mediator. Well, why are you doing that?
Also, your whole family basically talked Ari into leaving to go have a surgery.
And for every medical procedure for the rest of Avi's life will be done basically.
Like, why is my dad here? I'm like, well, I don't know. You moved away for like 2 months.
It's so awkward that Janice is just sitting there.
Yeah.
When why?
They probably have...
They need to talk.
They probably want to have some one-on-one conversation. They're kind
no,
of...
No, Ari cannot have a one-on-one kind of conversation. Sort of, that's why she has to be there.
It's like being cock-blocked, but for real...
Emotions. This is such a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it. Do you think it was weird for Benny to come and see Ari again and not only have, of course, this whole issue with them going on personally, but then she opens the door and it's just she's had a bunch of work done to her face?
But you can't mention it or talk about it at all.
I'm
really bad at seeing this stuff, but you say that she's had a lot of injections.
It looks like injections. I don't think she's had big surgery. So something's going on in the eye area. I think maybe injections to lift those brows possibly because they're very arched now. I feel like there's something going on in the cheek area and then a bunch of lip filler.
Yeah, it would have been funny if he's like, wow, you look different.
We see the next day that Ari and Benny are going to go talk with the help of a translator to see if they can come to any agreement, any apologies, basically anything, to see if there's anything left between them. I like the idea of a translator because I do think that they communicate well, but I feel like Ari isn't using all the words she wants to use when she talks to Benny. It's a very like simplified version of what she wants to say.
I thought it was good so she can get her message across.
And so that he as well, I feel like.
From his standpoint, I mean, he was always responding in English, so it's...
Yeah, but then Ari would try to correct him and be like, talk to her and then talk to me. I didn't like that.
That just made it weird again, because...
Again, yeah.
It's almost like you'd wish that lady would be like a family therapist.
Not just a translator. Exactly. You needed more from that. I did not like how, at the beginning of this conversation right away, Ari would not let him talk. It was about her getting out what she wanted, and she already decided what response she wants him to have. And any response besides that is not acceptable to her.
One, I'm sure she's been coached up by her family.
The family did talk a lot in her ear.
The way she approaches it, you know she's already come with a pretty much like an ultimatum.
The ultimatum was already given.
And she even mentions it, you know, from what you've done to our family. Because of these reasons, I feel like I can never return.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's such a bold statement for like the rest of your life, your family, for a 1.5 month, 2 month event.
And I want to be clear, like, we don't support Benny in being secretive and shitty, but I also don't support her not letting him speak and not letting him, I don't want to say get his side out because that's not what I mean by that. I mean it more in the sense of say what he needs to say.
I know they mentioned everything Benny's done wrong as far as not a good
communicator. Yes, it's been repeated for like three episodes. You
know, not being a good communicator, turning his phone off, all that stuff, having people over. But there's no actual proof that he like slept with someone. And but, so why okay. She's just going all the way to the extreme of you cheated on me, like, or you've done something like something to impact our family in some way.
But there is plenty of proof that things were going on that shouldn't have gone on. The photos of multiple women in the house, the incidences of her being told about two specific women that were around all the time. So I feel like, I mean, straight away, I don't think Benny should have women in the home that Ari doesn't know without telling her.
Yeah.
Definitely, and never telling her. So I feel like, yeah, you can blow up on this. I would too.
Yeah, I get that. But they do sort of bring in the, did you cheat on Ari? But they're going like all the way to the extreme. He could say, yes, I've had parties here. There's been women here. He could have said, because my friends are dudes and they invited women here, they're trying to hook up with people, whatever.
Yeah.
But they go to like, oh, you must have cheated on Ari. And he's like, that didn't happen. What do you, like, you're just making it be a thing.
I think it's almost not fair. I think it's easy to understand how it became a thing. So yeah. I think if he gave that exact excuse you're giving, which is kind of what single people do. I mean, you party together. Sometimes hookups happen.
My guy friends are single. They invited single ladies. Yeah.
But I wish he could have just had that conversation. Maybe he's
like, I'm the host of the party. I'm the one with an actual house.
Yeah. I just wish he could have that conversation with her before turning his phone off, ignoring her, giving her nothing. Because, of course, a person in that situation is going to go with, well, he doesn't want me. He's cheating on me. There's women in my house. He's been, multiple people are telling me about specific women.
Definitely.
I think it's easy to come to those conclusions. So yeah. I wish that she brought up these concerns, but I wish he kept his phone on so they could even talk about these concerns and he could give that reasoning if that's what it was.
Yeah, I think they're just going to end up using the moments that have been proven as far as having people over just as leverage to basically say, we're just never going to come back.
Yeah.
And if you would like to join us in the U.S., you can, which is kind of like it's not blackmailing, but it's like strong arming someone to make a decision. That's kind of fucked up.
I was super annoyed when Ari said, you're spending too much time on that. We're not talking about this. I want to talk about something else. When the conversation was super important to the root of problems. The issue he's trying to bring up is how he doesn't feel that Ari's very nice to him and the way that she communicates with him.
Well, he even said, you approached me all nice and stuff at the beginning and then you're really mean to me.
Yeah. And I think that's a fair conversation to have. Why are we only talking about Benny's fuck-ups? I'm not saying Ari has to be nice to him, you know, in the situation, but I think if we're talking about root of the problem, if he feels like he's being disrespected, if he feels like he doesn't have a voice, if he feels like he doesn't matter, I feel like that's a direct correlation to how he acted. So let's both get better. Let's both be better for Avi. I don't think it's fair to say, we're not talking about that. We're going to talk about how you fucked up. That's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an easy route to go. I think it's easy to point out, you did this to me. I'm mad at you. You better beg. You better fight for your family. Than to say, how did we get here?
It's almost like they're not going to resolve. Well, I don't feel like they're going to resolve anything in this conversation. Especially the way she's saying, like, I'm not hitting my points.
Yeah.
Like, well, we're also not resolving anything. You're just trying to get through your points. That's not going to help us.
I totally agree. And I mean, I would be just as pissed as Ari. I can't say I wouldn't. But what bothers me so much is at the end of the day, I think back to what happened previously. You spent the night at your ex's house for like, what, 2 weeks? Come on. And Benny wasn't allowed to say anything about that.
He didn't know that. He actually didn't know.
No, he had no idea it happened.
It's funny how we forget so fast and then now we're turning the tables on Benny.
Yeah. And so I can't take that too seriously because you never told him that you were going to do that. He only found out recently that happened when at your house.
But he was just supposed to forgive you.
You they actually were never allowed to talk about it. They never had a conversation about it because anything that Ari does is okay. She has every reason to do what she does, but not Benny. I just think they both fucked up many times and we're kind of at this point now of all these little things that have happened.
I wonder if Binium's ever going
to
bring it up.
No, because he's not allowed to. Because then she'll do this. No, we're not talking about that. And we're talking about how you fucked up.
So her mom's name is Janice, right?
Yep.
I wonder if he brought it up to her, and she'd be like, that's different.
Yeah, of course, because they love him.
They're friends.
Yep. They're best friends. He could
be like, they're my friends,
that's too. My best friend. Yep. She's my best crashing
friend. Here. She needed a place to sleep.
Yep.
What was I going to do? Let her go on the street?
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, as much as I can see Ari's side and like, yeah, it sucks that Benny turned off his phone and had these parties, Ari's not blameless.
The way you're so mad of his lack of communication, you must have been communicating when you were staying at Leandro's house
without and not telling him.
That's awkward. And that's lying to him every day.
That's by omission.
Yeah.
So dumb. Moving on to Armando and Kenny. Truffles is 17 years old.
That's old.
Dog. He's so cute, though. Holy or she. Shit. I found out it's a female. Dude, I thought Truffles was a male this whole time.
Isn't like 1 year?
Seven.
Like seven?
Yeah.
Be like over 100?
Oh my god. Truffles is so cute in her little dress. Love it. Kenny says, Truffles has been his ride or die bitch for 17 years. I cackled. That'd make
Truffles like 119?
Still going strong. We find out that Armando sent his dad a text kind of as one last attempt to get all of his feelings out. And I thought it was a good idea to do a text because he can go back and read it, like Armando said. Yeah, it's something he can reflect
that
on.
That was a really good idea. You tend to forget things during a phone call.
Exactly. And you just kind of simplize it as to where a text message, it's always there. His dad had a very simple response of, okay, I love you. Take care. It sucks.
I think his dad's just going through a lot of emotions, just kind of dealing with everything. And I think he's already gone a long way.
I think he's gone a long way, but I just hate that it feels like he came a long way and then he kind of went backwards a little bit. Kenny's daughter and his grandson are arriving in Mexico. Cooper and Kenny are so adorable. You can tell they had a really good relationship, and they still do. Cooper said that Kenny looks different, and I think that kind of hurt Kenny. He feels bad that he has been gone a year and a half, and he has changed.
Do you think he's changed, though? I think his look's been the same.
I think he looks a little bit different. I think Kenny and Armando put on some happy marriage weight. And I think that's what Cooper picked up on. Not like a bunch. I just mean he's a little heavier. It's not bad. It's not a bad thing. Hey, when you're happy, you're in love, you're enjoying that love. Kenny and his daughter are talking later on in the episode, and Kenny said he never dreamed of being this far from his family and explained that he lays awake at night missing them. That's so sad.
I think I've kind of been in a situation similar to this as far as, you know, you think you're ready for something and then you're in that situation and you thought you were prepared for those emotions, but you find out that they almost seem insurmountable. I know he has his partner with him, but just feeling lonely as far as the interactions you're so used to having and the love you're used to having around you with your family. I mean, now it's a partner love, that's your family. I'm curious what's going to happen in the future. If they're going to have a heart to heart to say, would it be okay for us to move a little bit closer somehow so we can travel between seeing our families?
I mean, he lives pretty close right now to the border. And they live in Baja. So that's pretty close to the California border.
Well, his family's in Florida, right?
Yeah. Again, you have to do my solution of maybe they have a timeshare. There's an Airbnb they can rent in the area and the kids can come visit more. And Kenny can also go back. I don't feel like Kenny and Armando should move to Florida.
Yeah, because if you turn it around, it'll just be the same thing for Armando.
Yeah, and he has a young child that
I think
is important for her to have a relationship with her mother's family.
I think right now I'm siding with staying in Mexico.
Because, I think for now.
Because you have a distant relationship, someone lives in a different country, you made the conscious decision to go down there and start of life.
Yeah, not for Armando to go back. That was the conversation. And I understand it's much different when you're living it. Totally understand that. But I just think Hannah deserves to kind of still have that home base right now because she's gone through a lot of change herself for such a young child. She lost her mother. She has moved out of the home that she grew up in with her mom and dad. Her dad is now in a relationship with a man, which that's not an issue at all. But you also have to think she moved away from both sets of grandparents, her cousins, everywhere she was. She already moved away from all of that. So I think we should just let her chill a little bit. She seems really happy. Armando talked to his mom and she said that she's packing for her and his dad to come to the wedding. While his dad didn't say yes to coming, he also didn't tell her to stop packing. A glimmer of hope. Armando steps outside to call his mom, and his dad is coming. And this is where I almost cried again because I was so happy for Armando and Kenny. It's just one less thing you have to stress about. Kenny doesn't have to worry about Armando being heartbroken on the day of their wedding. It's just going to be so much nicer.
I think we mentioned that we thought the dad was going to come.
I think we said we really hope so.
Okay. Well, I'm
I know when happy. That wedding photo came out recently of Kenny and Armando, I didn't even look at them first. I was looking at the crowd. I'm trying to find dad.
It is cool to see him.
I'm just so happy to see them happy.
Yeah. See, it's. I bet you that's a big weight lifted off of Armando's chest to kind of always be thinking, like, is he going to be there? Is he going to be there? Is he going to be there?
Yeah, exactly.
That's really cool.
Corey and Evelyn. A short segment.
Really short. Really short, but good.
Okay. A lot of people give shit to Corey for his Spanish, and it's getting better, I think.
They're jumping so fast in time.
You're right.
Okay. Just go back to the last couple. Armando and Kenny said, hey, we're getting married in 3 days. Like, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
Their time span for the show was like 24 hours.
I mean, like a week.
Was the whole episode.
2 weeks. Oh, the episode, yes.
The whole episode was like
a day.
A day.
Yeah.
24 hours. Kenny's daughter gets there, Cooper.
Yep. And breakfast the next morning. And they're getting married tomorrow or whatever it is.
And we're getting married in 2 days or whatever. Or family's coming in tomorrow, whatever.
Yep.
Hey, and then Corey and Evelyn, it's like, oh, it's been 2 months since Evelyn let me move back in.
And this is in my
notes. I was like, 2 months?
That's how you know nothing's going on with this couple. There's no story here.
They must be doing just fine.
Yeah.
If the cruise, it's not even worth it for them to capture any content for 2 months.
2 months, yeah.
They're doing just fine.
His Spanish is getting better, I will say.
Was this shot set up just for the show, this scene? Because
for sure.
If you're not filming them for 2 months, I mean, what's the point of continuing?
I mean, they had to have something. What else were they going to record if they didn't record anything for two months?
Corey's Spanish, I was impressed.
It got the message across.
He struggled through some words, but overall, he could get through it.
I'm really over him proposing with signs, though. Tiny letters. Do you remember when they were in the hot air balloon for the initial proposal and she was like, what does it say?
Yeah.
This is a similar situation. I feel like this is a throwback. He went to the same sign maker. Everything. I felt bad for the guys on the boat that had to do this. I hope they got paid or something.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
I hope so.
Sure. I kind of hope the boat was a little closer, though.
Yeah.
Due to this.
It was rough waters, too. Honestly, I was so surprised that Evelyn liked this. This is the nicest we've seen Evelyn, I feel like, ever.
I think you're right.
Cuddling into his arm. She was enjoying them.
Why was the weather so fucking shitty, though?
It was shitty. And the dog was just, like, in the background.
Looked like the beach in, like, Washington or Oregon or something.
Yeah, the Northwest beaches, for sure. It was... Okay, I give Evelyn a lot of shit, but it was nice to see her happy. Happy with Corey, being nice to him, them just enjoying each other. She thought the proposal was super sweet, even though I thought it was awkward, which she thinks is what matters most. And she was happy, and she said they're doing great, and she gets massages every night. Good for her. And that's it. That's their entire segment.
I'm happy for them. It's good that they had a turnaround.
Yeah.
Yeah, good little segment there. I was really surprised she ate it up. I thought it was going to be a total failure.
Yeah. Alina and Steven. It's been a few weeks since their proposal, and things have gotten a lot better between them. But she is concerned that Steven is taking so long to prepare the paperwork. That is a red flag. I love the random montage of Alina just petting cats.
That was
very cute.
Pretty epic.
Cucumber, adorable. Cowcat?
Oh, cowcat.
Cat cow, excuse me.
Yeah.
That's a great name. So at this point, we see it's 1 month until their visa runs out. And Steven says there's nothing they could have done differently. I feel like a lot could have been done differently.
Steven says that he needed this time to get comfortable with her again. And my eyes were fucking rolling.
Yeah. He's the problem.
I was like, you mean she needed this time to get comfortable with you?
Yes.
You've been lying the entire time you've been together.
Yeah, the entire time. Not even you've been lying for the trip. To the inception of this relationship, you've been lying to her.
Whereas I feel like Alina's been totally honest about her intentions and her past and everything. I don't understand what the fuck he was talking about.
No, same. He said it would be comforting to me if you could promise me. In terms of promising she will continue with the baptism even after the marriage. Because in his ideal world, she would get baptized first and then they would get married. But the churches are not doing baptisms right now.
It's interesting how strongly he still feels about all these things, considering he's broken so many rules of his church.
Absolutely. And
over and over.
And he's holding her to this.
Not like one incident.
Nope, it wasn't a air quote fingers moment of weakness.
It's like you clearly have
you're constantly all the moments of weakness. Yeah. Is it okay for you to be staying at a girl's house, to be showering at her house if you're not with her, if you're not married to her?
Having sex with 5 women?
Yeah. Making out with 100 other? Why is that okay? But you're very concerned about Alina's seriousness and ability to be a good Mormon. Stop.
It is a red flag considering they only have a month left on their visas.
And he's...
When the... I believe it's... I'll call him a counselor, but the individual they talk to about the process said, you need to get started on this ASAP.
Yeah, and like, that
there's
was
a lot of shit
2 months
to do.
Ago.
There's a lot of things you need to do.
Yeah.
Things are going to be closed, backed up on appointments. I don't know how he thinks, oh, I think we, you know,
in a week, we can just knock this out.
We still have enough time to get this done.
Not at all.
I'm like, how? How are you going to get all these appointments?
They act so young. Alina's only 20, so that's more understandable. But man, Stephen being 25, I forget a lot of the time because I feel like he is younger than her.
As far as like maturity levels?
Yeah, how he acts. On the next time on, we see Sumit say his divorce changed him as a person. He doesn't think he can survive another divorce. He said he's scared of marriage. Is this the first time he's been honest about that?
Okay, so are you saying you're never going to get married again?
It's kind of sounding like it. So tell me that now, so I can
go
home.
Yeah, you should just...
Why do you even have her come?
Well, then what's... what's Jenny supposed to do? I mean, she's like 65, 66.
He wants her forever to have to go to another country and get another visa.
Is her end goal... at the upper parts of her life to just find someone to be married? Because it almost seems like, well, is it really that important?
I think it's very
versus
important.
Versus finding someone and just being happy with them?
Oh, like a companion.
Yeah, versus finding someone that you're going to be happy with and being together, or like, no, I need to get married at, you know, the...
Okay, well, that brings up a good question. Do you think that her pressure to get married is for... kind of the life goal of being married right now? Or do you think it's because she's tired of dealing with the visa process?
That's a good question. But I think from her standpoint, it's probably more to get married, to find someone that has shown that commitment to her.
But I also think
it's a pain in the ass, you know, doing the whole visa thing.
Yeah, and how often is she doing that? It's been easy right now because she can just kind of do it online because of COVID. But not knowing kind of when that process is going to end and when it's going to go back to being difficult, I think that does play a part in her really pushing him to get married. But also, I think it is the commitment. I think it's kind of both.
Okay, let's say Sumit says he doesn't want to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Like, would she really leave this guy because of that? Because, okay, are you going to go try to find someone else to be married? Is that important?
I mean, she said if he makes excuses this time, she knows and she's going to leave.
They're pretty... I mean, we've enjoyed watching them since the beginning. They've been a really interesting couple.
And I'm constantly changing my mind about them. Evelyn said she doesn't want to get married by her parents' religion because then it's till death. Corey said, yeah, well, it is marriage, Evelyn.
I couldn't take that seriously.
Again, I feel like I've been saying this as a broken record. She likes to play marriage when it's convenient for her. When she can throw it in Corey's face of fucking her over while they're married. But otherwise, marriage isn't that big of a deal to her. And we're just continuing to see examples of that. Ellie and Victor are going back to Victor's sister's house, where Victor says he still feels like he's in the hurricane. He shows her how they were huddled in the kitchen for 6 hours just praying. I can't even imagine.
I can't imagine. And they've gone through a big ordeal for sure. I mean, getting their homes pretty much destroyed and having to rebuild.
I mean, look at his sister's house. It is destroyed.
I think a lot of the times when we see like couples or relationships and we see, you know, positive moments, negative moments, but you can sort of gauge like, yeah, I can see how this couple could work some couples like, how the hell, for example, what was his name? Big Mike? Was it Big Mike? What was his name?
Do you mean just Mike?
No. Where do you go? Thailand, I think. The dude with no neck.
Ed.
Big Ed. Sorry, Big Ed. Big Ed, and you're like, there's no way this couple's going to work.
Well, he was such an asshole. Well, he was a horrible person.
Oh, yeah. But Ellie and Victor have had... It's almost like you only see negative moments.
Yeah, there's never been a... I mean, the only happy
moment
we've seen
between
them...
And she looks like so stressed.
Them, yeah. She isn't here to rough it. She's not meant to rough it.
I just don't think it's going
to
work.
No, same. I don't see them coming to... a common ground anytime soon.
Hey, and I'd be happy to be wrong, but I'm just saying what I'm thinking right now.
We see Janice talking with Benny, and she asks him straight to the point. did you cheat on Ari? Not appropriate.
Would.
I'm never letting my parents have a conversation with my husband that I haven't even had with my husband. That's weird.
So if he says yes, does Jana say, yep, we're leaving him?
Yep, exactly. Then it's mom's decision, because Ari is not going to make a decision on her own. It's going to be whatever mom says, she's going to do. It's so that was weird. That was weird. I'm just not having my mom have a conversation with my husband. That's weird. This conversation.
Janice is gauging. I need to find out if I'm going to still help support you or not.
She's going to support Ari no matter what. It doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, but are you going to be together or not together?
Are we going to be together or not? Because
you were the one who caught the, they called it Ari's apartment?
Yeah, it was interesting that the mom was talking to Benny and she asked about Ari's apartment, or she referenced it as Ari's apartment. And I thought that was weird to say when it's their apartment. Yes. I mean, you want to be honest, it's Janice's apartment.
Kind of like how folks are getting by and doing their thing, paid by the show, OnlyFans, whatever.
Alina and Steven, though, I want to know what they're doing.
I just envision that Ari just gets money from her family. And
I mean, it's we've seen that that's how they live.
Has there been any confirmation on that, though?
I mean, they said my mom or my parents paid for this apartment.
Oh, gotcha.
It's all the confirmation I need that they're paying for everything. Yeah. Their way of living, the everyday-to-day life. They get an allowance as an adult. And then your mom comes with you to work on your relationship. Oh, well. Just my opinion. I have lots to say about this. Oh, yeah.
Next time on. That is... You hate his kids.
I don't hate the kids. I just really dislike the pressure they put on Kenny.
Their approach.
Yeah.
Is odd.
They're probably great. I would go have a beer with them. We'd have a great time. I just don't like how they approach their father. So Kenny tells his kids that him and Armando were talking about adopting. His daughter starts crying and says that she feels like he's raising a new family and says that she thinks it's kind of crazy. You are a grown-ass woman. All of you are grown-ass people. Let your dad live his life. Was he crying when you told him that you were pregnant and he was just like, oh, why aren't you just with me? No.
He's already starting a new family.
Yes, with he's a getting small, married.
With a small child.
He has Hannah, a family.
With Hannah.
And you guys are all a family. Why would you not accept a child as your sibling? You are all adopted. Why would you not accept that?
That was weird.
That's mind-blowing. Let your dad be happy. Support his happiness.
You gotta imagine... Your dad's also dating a younger man.
Yeah.
That has a little bit of different priorities of life and what they want to do.
And what they want right now.
And maybe at a younger age, you're like, well, yeah, I want more kids. That's the mode I'm in right now.
Yeah.
But they're sort of trying to alter that thinking of, oh, no, you shouldn't do that.
I feel like they all, being the kids, expect Armando to mold to Kenny and his family's life. Instead of making their life together. And I think that's what annoys the shit out of me.
I'd agree with that.
I cannot stand how the kids are just not supportive. Or supportive it's in a like, way that it, would be beneficial to their like dad. It's almost like the
astrologer with Jenny and Submit of like, yeah. You just need to let them go.
Yeah, let them live their life. Your dad's not bitching at you for your life choices. He's supporting you and loves you and helped you take care of Cooper. You guys lived with him. Come on. Let him live his life. Support him. Be happy. It's all love. Come on.
Great
episode. And there are my hot takes for the day.
Yeah. Great episode, really.
Okay. Thank you guys for listening. We will talk to you soon. We'll see you on... Yeah, we still have decision day. Maths.
Yeah, that's going to be incredible.
It is. I think I'm going to listen to our first episode of Maths so that I can write down our initial predictions. Our predictions for prior to decision day. And then we'll go over what happens. Okay. I think there's going to be a lot of wild cards. What if everyone says yes?
Nah.
That's another fear of mine. That everyone's there's just going to say yes.
There's no way.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys have a good week. Monday's good to you. And we will talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye, guys.